Do we have Dregs on the line? Or I think Dregs is down in NBC, isn't he? Here's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. What's up, Dregs?
Hey, guys. I'm just finishing a cup of coffee, black, and I'm right near the bottom, and now I'm looking into my cup, and I'm seeing something floating in there. I have no idea what it is. I don't know what it is. It's no good.
It's all right.
You mean like an ant, like a bug or something, or what the hell is it?
It's a chunk of something. But there's like an ounce left, so I'm going to have to, when we get done, I'll pour it out and I'll report back. I don't think it's a bug, but it didn't fall out of my mouth. It must have come out of the coffee machine, so God knows what it is.
Dregs, there's only one burning question on this show. When you were, I don't know, 15 years ago in Whitby, did you ever hear of a guy named Brian Hayes? Like, was he a name like that was even anywhere on your radar? Because this guy is trending on HockeyDB. He claims in a mini camp. I don't even know what the terminal, you lit it up?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so he lit it up in a mini camp. Was he ever on your radar? Ever?
No, not from a hockey playing perspective. But Brian Hayes actually used to produce a radio show that I did.
Dregs, I'm talking about hockey. I don't care about the radio.
Yeah, but that's more important stuff. That's what people
Ahead, Dregs. Go ahead.
There you go, Dregs.
No, I don't, honestly. Well, I got to think about this. So I moved into the Whitby area back in about 2000. Early 2000, 2001, something like that. So I really wasn't on the hockey scene there from the minor hockey perspective until my son was like 4 or 5.
That's right.
So we're going back a long time. So that might be just a little bit before my time. But Bobby Mack would, right?
Like, oh, Bobby Mack, absolutely.
Bobby Mack got scouting reports of you.
So. Bobby Mack's seen me play multiple times. I'm not lying to you because I played against his son once.
Where?
I played against his kid. I was an old, grizzled, like 20-year-old slob just cruising around.
When Mike was out there.
And Mike, I don't know how much younger he is than me. I think he's 3 or 4 years younger than I am. But I played against him. I didn't know who he was at the time.
So if I asked Bob McKenzie, did you ever watch Brian Hayes play Junior B? He would have said yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I put on a clinic that night.
What if he says no?
I'm telling you, man. I
There's
guarantee
a chance,
it.
Dregs.
Shoot
There's
him
a chance.
A text right now. Ask him if he's ever seen me play live. And I would be shocked if he said no. Anyway, let's get to the real stuff here, Dregs. Can you explain how Gerard Gallant takes an expansion team to a cup final, then back to the playoffs the year after that, and then basically is in a playoff spot right now, 3 points out of top place in their division, and somehow gets fired with 34 games left to play? How do they have the audacity in Vegas to fire Gerard Gallant?
Well, what I can't do is defend their position, because based on everything you just said, it doesn't make any sense. So I'll tell you what Vegas told me. It's a simple, pure urgency to win. And it comes from ownership, Bill Foley. It comes from management, obviously, George McPhee and Kellen McCrimmon. And the feeling that they're a lot better than what their record indicates, and the way that they've been playing, I would say over the last 4, maybe even 5 weeks. The details that were once automatic in the game of the Vegas Golden Knights are not automatic anymore. And that became concerning. I even though I don't buy this, I've known Gerard Gallant a long time. I think that he's one of the few coaches that maybe appreciates and understands the balance that is required of a combination of intensity and fairness. I think that there's a sense around that group that maybe he wasn't holding some of the players, certain players, maybe all of the players, with a level of accountability that was required to snap them back in the line so that the details that I'm talking about would once again become automatic. Because beyond that, and the availability of Pete DeBoer, if Pete DeBoer isn't available, I don't think they're firing Gerard Gallant. So they must just feel that, you know, the structure of Pete DeBoer, the accountability of Pete DeBoer, the experience, the record of Pete DeBoer is enough that he's going to lead them farther than Gerard Gallant might have been able to do.
I find it weird, Dregs. Like, this does not seem like the owner went over the top and said, we're doing this? I don't know. It just seems like a weird transition.
It doesn't smell right.
You just said, like the urgency to win.
You've been in the
Toronto
league for
has
two
that.
And a half years.
Yeah, they haven't won a cup since 67. And we're talking about Vegas having the urgency to win.
Yeah. Well, that's how they feel. And obviously, you know, they had success too soon. You know, a trip to the Stanley Cup final in your inaugural season is ridiculous by any pro sports standards. But they achieved that. And fairly or unfairly, that might have given Bill Foley an unrealistic expectation. You know, how old is Bill Foley? I mean, he's got to be in his 70s, mid-70s. I know that he wants to win. Every owner in every sport wants to win. I don't get the sense, though, that he was putting a ton of heat on management. And Kelly McCrimmon told me the same thing that he told the media assembled today, that he had a feeling. He had a feeling that change was needed to spark something again, to snap these guys in line, and we'll see if it works. Otherwise, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And what we know is, I mean, it's not customary or trendy to fire coaches, but it's almost the only thing that management or ownership now feel like they can do in the National Hockey League because of the cap constraints and, you know, everything that you live with. You can't make a trade that matters, or it's next to impossible to make a trade that matters. So, I don't know, there's a guy available out there. Yeah, he's making $5 million. Well, let's fire a good popular coach and replace him with that guy and see if it works.
How much is the Toronto factor in this, Dregs? I mean, Keith comes in, they go 14-4 to start his tenure. I mean, Craig Berube last year, is it all everybody looking for that St. Louis kind of magic?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite copycat syndrome. And look, I mean, the St. Louis thing was different because, you know, St. Louis was floundering. And you know, they brought, you know, Berube from the assistant role into the head coaching role, and we all know what happened after that. But I guess the similarity would come, you know, in the accountability there. And you know, not that, you know, coaching in St. Louis at the time was entirely corrupt. You know, I'm not saying that Mike Yeo just couldn't get the job done, but there was a comfort in Craig Berube that the players obviously responded to. But yeah, I bet you Vegas looks at Toronto and looks at how, you know, the players have responded for the most part. I mean, they're not looking to win a popularity contest in the management offices of the Vegas Golden Knights. I can tell you this. There was nobody more shocked to learn of the news than Gerard Gallant and the coaching staff of the Vegas Golden Knights. When they got up in the East this morning, they were not expecting a coaching change. So whether or not McCrimmon and George McPhee and ownership are trying to find the same spark that the Toronto Maple Leafs did and others have, I can't be sure, but clearly they're not concerned with what those of us in the media.
Well, I mean, it's been a fascinating year in the NHL with all the coaching turnovers and clearly the other stuff that has been unearthed and
right. The
different conversations away from the game that we've had. And we still have 35 games left for the most part.
Yeah. Like, what's going to happen next?
I guess the trade deadline at some point. And,
yeah.
But you just said it, Dregs. Like, nothing happens in the NHL, which is bad for business. Like, you should be able to throw, you know, hey, if I need to change my team, I want to be able to make a trade. Yeah. You just can't.
Well, I remember Jimmy Rutherford years ago telling me that, and Jeff, maybe you lived this during your time in Carolina. He would make a trade for the sake of making a trade, you know, end of November, December, maybe even January, leading up to the trade deadline, you know, just to shake things up, to freshen things up a little bit. It's not impossible to do that, but it is really, really difficult. You know, leading up to the trade deadline and before that, and obviously before that, guys, you know what I'm going to watch? Like, Gerard Gallant is on a flight back to Prince Edward Island right now. How long before his phone rings and another team says, geez, we like what you did in Vegas. We were shocked as any that they let you go, but we like your work and we'd like to bring you in. Now, you know, there's a couple of obvious spots, right? I'm not trying to cut the knees out from under Jeff Blashill in Detroit, but we all know the relationship between Gerard Gallant and Steve Yzerman, whether the timing is right or not, you know, can't be sure of that. And what about Calgary? I think Jeff Ward's done a nice job on the bench as an interim head coach of the Calgary Flames, but given everything that Brad Treliving and, you know, ownership of the Flames have been through this year, you know, could the stability, the experience of Gerard Gallant be something that they consider? And there's two teams, there might be more. So that's something we're going to have to pay attention to.
Well, I mean, that would be conventional wisdom that a bad team changes their coach. Right. Now it's good teams change their coach, or teams that believe that they're good teams. And
It's like crummy teams don't change the coach.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're bad, so why would we change our coach?
But Hayes are just convinced that Bill Foley had shot a helicopter video going into the playoffs, and he didn't want that one to get caught on the cutting room floor.
That's why he fired him. He already shot his, you know, Michael Bay style helicopter video, and Gerard Gallant had to pay the price.
Yeah. Package is arriving.
The package is arriving at the arena. Thanks, Bill. Step aside. Let the real hockey markets do this.
Rattled.
Anyway, all right, Dregs. Good stuff, buddy.
Okay, guys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider.